On today's show, we're sharing 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. Number 5 is one of the best ways, I think, to ensure success. And number 6 is something that I did that was really effective, but boy, it was one of the most uncomfortable weeks of my life. And we'll share all of those right now.
There's no wrong way to be an entrepreneur, and that's the dirty little secret the business gurus don't want you to know. They want you to do things their way, but their way may not be your way. The key to success is finding the strategies that work best for you. Welcome to the 6 Ways with Jerry Potter.
Welcome to episode 29 of the 6 Ways, where every week we bring on a smart, innovative guest who is thriving in their field of expertise to share what they're doing with the rest of us. And the whole idea is that they can share their best tips and we can all achieve our entrepreneurial and life goals, because I truly believe we all do better when we all do better. My name is Jerry Potter. I'm an entrepreneur and social media and content marketing coach. My guest today is Larry Snyder. He's a fundraising auctioneer for nonprofits, but he's also an expert at using social media to build community and support the causes that are most important to him. Larry, welcome to the show.
Good morning from very, very chilly Redmond, Washington over here. Jerry, it's great to be with you today.
Well, I love that you brought this idea up, because this was not something that was on my list. And when you brought it up, I went, oh my gosh, Larry's so good at this and he does this all the time. So I'm excited to be discussing this, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are looking to do more and give back and things like that. So we're going to share 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. Larry brought 3 and then I brought 3. And then our question of the week is from Micah, who says, I want to use my company to give back, but I don't want to offend anyone with the charity I pick. Any advice? Which is an interesting thing, right? Certain nonprofits can come with controversy and things like that. So make sure you stay till the end of the episode and we'll discuss Micah's question in our question of the week. All right, 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. Larry, you're up first with number 1. What do you got?
Well, number 1 obviously is to try and identify the things that are happening right before us, literally, that people can get their minds wrapped around. And those are usually things that are either in the news or perhaps things that matter to someone that's affected directly in front of us. And that's really the, I think, one of the most important ways to identify how to use social media as a platform for good, is to make sure that it's affecting the people right around us.
And so can you give an example of someone that you've done fundraising for that, you know, probably falls into that category?
Sure.
For most people?
So for example, a friend called me and said, I need help raising $125,000 for a surgery to save one of my executive's spouse. And so immediately, the people around that person that have gotten the word that that Nick had cancer, for example, and that there was only one place in the United States that could do this surgery that would save his life. Believe me, everyone wanted to rally around Nick, but now we had to raise $125,000 in 10 days. And so that's a good example of someone right around us that needs help immediately. And so social media was truly the key to getting that word out about a fundraising event that we put together in 10 days. And I do not recommend to anyone to put together a fundraising event in 10 days unless you have some really good support around you. And in this case, we did, but we had to get the word out as fast as possible to as many people as possible and encourage others to share this this opportunity as well. We were fortunate enough to get 300 people together in 1 week and raise that the needed funds for the $125,000 copay, is what it was, for this somewhat experimental surgery.
Wow, that's amazing. And just to use a ridiculous example to make your point, you know, versus if you're trying to raise money to help cats sleep better, that's not something that people can, you know, relate to, you know, cat, feline insomnia, which may be a thing. I don't know. I'm just making that up at the top of my head. But algorithmically as well, if you want your campaign or whatever you're doing to reach as many people as possible, they have to start engaging. And it's really hard for people to start engaging or support causes that they didn't know about before, or they weren't aware of. And that doesn't mean they have to know about, you know, your Nick, but obviously they know about cancer, right, and the impact that it can have on lives and families. So I love
and,
that. All right.
And in that
next
case,
up, number 2.
And in that case, the urgency was really important too. I just want to make sure that that's added.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, number two, 6 ways to use social media to put more good into the world. Start promoting way before you start. Now, obviously, the example you just gave, Larry, you couldn't do that, right? It was now and it was urgent. But in most cases, I've seen people try and run fundraisers on social media and they wait and it's like, all right, today we're starting to raise money for this cause. But if you can start talking about it ahead of time, or if you work for a nonprofit or you're aligned with a nonprofit or you love a nonprofit, I mean, talk about it throughout the year. So yep. that when you do bring it up, that the fundraiser is starting, it's not all of a sudden, people hearing about it for the first time. So, the best time to start talking about your fundraiser is way before it starts. And, the second best time, I guess we would say, is today. But definitely talk about it in advance. Don't wait for, the day of, because by then, the awareness is much harder to get out there because you're already asking for money at that point.
Yep. Absolutely. I think also too, understanding how long a campaign should run gives you a better idea of when to start as well. So anyway, I think that's an important point as well.
Yeah. All right. Next up, number three, 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. Larry, what do you got?
Well, first of all, being able to share opportunities that are accessible causes to just about everyone. And I've already shared the one about Nick, but also when you look at things that are happening around us, homelessness, for example, that's something that few people will argue is a real issue. And so, as you've seen, we do an annual legendary sock drive in every November. And we do it in November because the shelters and all of the street ministry organizations need socks from the end of November through basically March. And anyway, so socks are something that everyone seems to be able to associate with because most of us wear socks, obviously, but also socks are something that is easy to shop for, easy to order on your favorite e-commerce site, and an easy thing for you to spend $15 on, but maybe someone else will spend $100. The bottom line, though, is that we're trying to provide socks for people who live outside or in some form of temporary housing. Perhaps they live in a car or a tiny house. But homelessness is a subject matter that just about everybody can wrap their heads around.
Yeah, that's another great example. So what did you have for your next way to put more good in the world? Because that was an extension of your first one, right? Was the topic.
Yeah, I think the visibility part of this is choosing things that and causes that everybody can wrap their heads around. So that's really the point here, is making sure that you are choosing things that are not obscure, that are, truly happening kind of within the purview of most people that you're trying to communicate with and encourage them to participate. Saying thank you is hugely important for many reasons. Number one, it's the right thing to do. Number two, you can do it many times and should. The way that I've done it, and by no means have I done anything but trial and error on social media, but also I kind of use the spirit of my mother, who was the most extraordinary person in the world when it came to serving other people. And she just really believed that, and my father as well, that you just can't say thank you enough. And so the way that I like to do it, and what I ask others to do too, is to use maybe every other day at the end of the campaign for a week to use a photograph that supports the thank you that you are that you're making, but also to encourage during that thank you post to keep giving if that's what moves you, or to keep telling people about what cause you're trying to solve for. So I just think that thank you is really important, and I'm not sure we do it enough in social media or even in life in general, because I don't think there's a limit on it. I don't think you can overthank people, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that you brought this up, because, and when you sent me your note, it's, it's like my next one is thank people. Because yes, we'd maybe love to live in this utopian society where everyone gives and doesn't want to be acknowledged, but whether they want to be acknowledged or not, when you thank them, they feel good. But more than that, then more people see that you're doing this campaign, especially if they take the time to share it. And, you know, the other piece of this too, and this, you touched on this really briefly, and I want to make sure to emphasize it, is if you're doing a week long or a 2 week long fundraiser using social media, the messaging can get old, and thank yous is one of the easiest ways. Right. What did you say? Every other day is when you do it, to just keep it fresh and keep that social proof going right through the end.
Sure. Also too, remember that when you do a campaign, you might have a lot of people you need to thank. And so you can't write a mile long post, right? But you can write a couple posts a day that are, once again, thank you to whomever you're trying to thank. The other part of this is thanking the people that do the service work, people that distribute the socks themselves, people that do the feeding on the street. Those people don't often get thanked. We thank donors. We thank volunteers a lot, but again, making sure that we're saying thank you to the people that are actually doing the hard work. And that's why you'll find me out on the street on a couple times a month, just kind of reappreciating the people that not only we serve, but that we serve with. It's a real humbling experience for me.
I love that. All right. Next up, number four of six ways to use social media to put more good in the world. And this one might be the hardest to do, but probably the most effective, in my opinion. So number four is to tell stories and then tell more stories and then tell more stories. So when I worked in radio, we would do fundraisers for lots of different organizations, but the most memorable ones were when we do them with children's hospitals in different cities around the country. And part of that was going and interviewing the families that have been helped by Children's Hospital. And I remember one where they told us, okay, we've arranged for you to meet this family. I'm not going to say their name, but you know, this family, they actually lost their son to cancer. They still want to come in and talk about how wonderful this hospital is. And it was very, it was a very intense conversation, but it was so powerful. And this doesn't mean chasing people down and forcing them to share their stories, but if they're willing to share, then share them. Now, another thing that comes up a lot when I'm consulting people on marketing, which is a little bit different with, is with testimonials, where it's like, well, what if they don't want me to say their name? It's like, okay, we'll find a way to say it without their name. Same thing with these stories. The more details you provide when you're telling the story about somebody that has helped or will be helped by whatever you're raising funds or goods for, then the more powerful it's going to be. But if you need to, you know, if you can't say their name, they don't want you to say their name, then you can add a city or an area or a detail or an age range or any number of things like that. But the more stories you tell, the more you will raise every single time. And so when I've worked with nonprofits over the years, I've always encouraged them to find a comfort level that they are okay with sharing stories. And if it's not the full story, then just find the right level of comfort that, you know, it doesn't violate anybody's privacy. It doesn't make anybody uncomfortable. That's not what we're out to do. But in these situations, we are out to raise as much money as possible for the organization or whoever we happen to be working with.
I couldn't agree more. Little Brandon Bronze changed my life when I met him the first time at St. Jude's and also Seattle Children's. The research groups blow your mind because, again, they get up every day to save children's lives. And those are actually the stories, like you said, that need to be told at whatever level of detail they can. I love talking again about the beginning of the cause, which is research. And right here in Seattle, we have some of the most kind of forward moving research that needs to be funded. And again, telling the story either through the eyes of a mom or through the eyes of a researcher who has chosen this field for whatever particular reason it is. And most of the time it's because someone in their family, someone in their past has succumbed to the disease, and they want to do something about it to change the world. And I love finding these world changers and telling their stories and asking people to support them.
Yeah. And quick side note to that too, you know, you mentioned going out and getting re-reminded of why you collect socks for the homeless in November. And that was another big impact of, you know, if you are trying to raise money for a cause and you're trying to figure out how to talk about it on social media, see if you can go volunteer or mm-hmm. learn more, because you'll just do a better job once you do that as well. So, all right, next up is number 5 of 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. Larry, I love this one because I think it is one of the best possible ways to ensure success. So what's the next one that you have?
Well, you got to have a public goal. If you don't have a public goal, the first thing that we learned was if you don't have a public goal, the donors aren't really sure what kind of event this is from a giving standpoint. If you have people in an audience that have the capability and the capacity to make a $5,000 gift, but they don't know what kind of event this is goal-wise, and they make a $500 gift to them, that's what they came to do. So having a public goal, holds us accountable. And I'm going to go back to the sock drive because that's a perfect, very, very recent example. When we first started the sock drive, we felt like 500 pairs of socks was a lot of socks. And we were asking our friends to bring socks and send socks. And we got to 500, and I'm a sales, I grew up in a sales organization. So, you know, when you get to the goal, you just want more. That's kind of how it is, right? Anyway, so the next year it was, you know, maybe we can round up 750. We just got to ask more people. But we also have to tell those people what our goal is. And that instead of bringing us 5 pairs of socks, can you bring us 20 pairs of socks? Or maybe ask your friends and then collect them before you bring them in. We got to 1,000 pairs that second year. And then, of course, again, I grew up in the home furnishings business in a family business, and everything was goal related. I've worked on commission for 25 years. So the mindset that I go into the world is more is better, and more work creates more income. It's just kind of how I think. And I think that way with socks now, too. Anyway, by having that goal on every piece of collateral, whether it's some type of printed material or something that we use as a graphic in a social media post, which is usually the case, that goal is very bold letters across the top. Help us raise, and this year, 2023, which was technically last year, our goal was 10,000 pairs of socks. And the way we've gotten there, Jerry, is by using social media with e-commerce links in it. So I can't make this any more simple for you. I'm asking you to read something on Facebook or Instagram, click on the link, and in 3 clicks and $50, you've just sent me 100 pairs of socks.
And wow. That's, and you went from 500 that first year to 10,000 this last year.
In 10 years. And actually this year, I stopped counting at 13,000 pairs of socks.
Wow. Well, yeah. And another thing I've heard you talk about related to this too, is when you have a public goal, the fear of failure comes with it, which can be very motivating to do more. And as you said, you know, work more, raise more, right?
Yeah. If it hasn't become evident to you yet, in this one brief conversation, my sales training through a family business has prepared me well for these kind of campaigns, because wanting to be the best and then earn the most and achieve the goal or beyond that is just how I get out of bed in the morning. And that has been, it's like an innate quality that came with growing up in a family business.
And I love that you're using it for good, which is fantastic. So, all right, next up, number 6 of 6 ways to use social media to put more good in the world. And that is to raise the stakes. Now, Larry, your example of we're raising 10,000 pairs of socks, and that's our goal. That's one way of raising the stakes. But there are a lot of ways that you can raise the stakes and give people a story to follow. You know, there can be a consequence if you don't get there. There can be a reward if you do get there. But there's a big step up from just saying, hey, I'd like you to donate to this nonprofit for my birthday, thanks, versus, hey, I'd like you to donate to this nonprofit for my birthday. And if we raise $5,000, I'll go jump in the lake in January or something like that. And so this was something else that we did when I worked in radio, and it was a fundraiser for the homeless, which I know is a cause near and dear to you. And we were raising food and money, awareness, of course, always clothing. And so the promotion was for me to go and actually live on the street in a cardboard box for 107 hours, which was the frequency of the radio station, which worked out to, I think, 4.5 days or something like that. And it was winter and it was wildly uncomfortable. And there were nights where it's like, what am I doing? And it certainly gave me a lot of gratitude for the life that I have and for how lucky I've been. But that level of stakes, you know, when people see that as what's on the line or the thing that you're doing, they will level up in a big way. And I remember kids showing up and donating like something non-perishable from their lunch to the food drive and things like that from hearing about this. And so anytime that you can raise the stakes, and you know how high you raise them doesn't have to be to where you decide to live on the street for 5 days or anything like that. But it makes a massive, massive difference. So I encourage you to raise the stakes whenever possible, whether it is setting a goal, as Larry suggested, or any number of other things, but it makes a big, big difference. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I want to get to our question of the week because I think this is a really interesting discussion. Micah said, I want to use my company to give back, but I don't want to offend anyone with the charity I pick. Any advice? So in some cases, nonprofits are tied to political parties or a certain kind of person or things like that. And so Micah doesn't want to drive away his current clients or customers. So Larry, what would you say to Micah around that?
If your company has some very core goals and you can choose a charity that is aligned with those, that's one way that you should be able to rally the group. Most companies have some intrinsic values attached to them that are often chartered by the founder. And I think that's one way to do it. To think in this world that we live in today that you're not going to offend some is really not good. I'm serious. And so I think...
Oh, no, I know.
I think you need to be prepared that there is not a charity that won't have some pushback in somebody's mind. But I would start at the company values. And if you don't have company values, that's a different issue. But I think that's probably the best place. I think also there are some charities that pretty much everybody can wrap their heads around. You've mentioned a couple of them, children's hospitals. And for me, we are so fortunate in the Pacific Northwest to have one of the most important regional children's medical centers and research institutes in the world. And so, and they do such a good job. Seattle Children's Hospital has 325 fundraising guilds. So the awareness of how to engage is not hard to find. But I also think that there are other issues that are easy to get others engaged in. Food insecurity is a perfect one. Having a food drive at your company, everyone needs to eat. Right? And so I think food, I think addiction recovery is another one that most people don't spend a lot of time talking about. But most of us have a someone that we know personally that is involved in substance abuse or recovery. And that is a really good way to have some real conversations among employees if they choose to do so. I've noticed that my work in addiction recovery has exposed me to some of the strongest people I've ever met.
Yes. And on the values thing, you know, study after study shows that now people often vote with their wallets, as they say. People, especially younger generations, are willing to spend more with a company that aligns with their values for the same product or service than they would with a company that they don't know their values or that they don't align with their values. So there's definitely strength to choosing something that aligns with your values. It can actually help your brand, help your company, help the perception of your company. The other thing that you can do, and I did this in my company for a while, where I always wanted to give, you know, I've always given some of, you know, what I earned back.
Yeah.
And I have a membership called Social Media Leads Lab. And so I would ask members to nominate the nonprofits that were important to them around the world.
Right.
And I learned about some interesting ones. And certainly there were some where, you know, one of our members trains guide dogs for the blind in Australia. And so that one was obviously very popular because it's very cute and stuff like that. Some were lesser known, but that way the member, and I think you could do the same thing with your employees, if you have employees, will essentially tell the story of the nonprofit for you. And it means a lot more than just having a corporation or a company saying, hey, this month we're supporting, you know, whatever the cause might be. So, but best of luck with that, Micah. Thank you for the question. Absolutely love it. If you want to take a deeper dive into anything we talked about today, go to the sixways.com/29. And by the way, word of mouth is the number one way that new people discover and grow their businesses from this show. So if you found this valuable, please tell one other person that would benefit from it too, because I truly believe we all do better when we all do better. And thank you to everyone who has referred the show in this last week to somebody. So on our next episode, 6 ways rest can grow your business faster. And if you want to connect with Larry and learn more about Larry, he truly is an amazing human. You can find a link to his website in our show notes. And we love hearing about how people binge our episodes after discovering the show. So if you enjoyed this one, 2 more listener favorites to check out. 1, 6 ways busy entrepreneurs can prioritize their health, and 6 ways to stay ethical and still be wildly profitable. And links to both of those are in the description or show notes wherever you are watching or listening. Remember, we all do better when we all do better, so keep helping each other out. And Larry, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.